Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the mitten in a beautiful green field in the Black Diamond Group mothership. It's pure Michigan, baby. I'm born and raised in the D. My good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle is sitting right across from me. Craig Russell, when I open the show, you're smiling.
Well, because you make me smile, man. You got it all going on. Born and raised in the D. I was born and raised in the K, so it's all good.
K being Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo. That's right.
What a great show.
Oh, yeah.
And
great
we
show.
No, this show, huge.
Huge.
This show will be bigger than any show we've ever done to date, by far.
This show will be huge.
Huge.
Thank you.
We open the show, folks, with Greta Van Fleet.
Local rockers from Frankenmuth.
Greta Van Fleet. I was on YouTube last week.
Okay.
And I was just looking at, I don't know how I came across them, but I was on YouTube. And Greta Van Fleet, I came across them, listened to that song, go, holy cow, who are these guys? Turns out, two of them just graduated high school from Frankenmuth. Folks, yeah, you have got to check out on YouTube, Greta Van Fleet. And we're going to be playing that song throughout the entire show. Yeah. These young guys, Craig, they're touring all the festivals now across this country. They're going to be appearing at the Cherry Festival in Traverse City.
Next week.
Unbelievable.
Do you realize it's almost 4th of July? The year's flown by. Where's the time gone, Todd?
I have no idea.
Where's it gone?
It's gone somewhere in this big green field.
No.
Because we are just broadcasting hundreds of thousands of watts strong, blaring out Greta Van Fleet. And we have a huge show, by the way.
With chock full of law, I understand.
Full of law, but not to deviate, you're right. Where has the year gone?
I don't know. It's like all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, it's almost July. It's summer vacation. The kids are here. My kids are here. My son Hunter's birthday was on Friday. Happy birthday, Hunter. It's just been crazy how it's already in the middle of summer now.
Yeah, I don't want to look at it that way because okay, I don't want the year to go any faster.
Okay.
But this summer has been just horrible.
I know.
I'm not a pessimist, nor are you, but the weather, I mean, it's raining, it's hot, and we have not had a good stretch. I love to go across the bridge, and because of the humidity and all the rain and what's happening down south on the Gulf, you can't go anywhere.
No.
I mean, but as I always say, I'm going anyway. Because if you never go, you're never going to go.
That's right. If you wait, it's like they always say, you know, if you wait till you're perfectly money set, ready to have kids, nobody would ever have them. So,
but I do have a complaint.
Okay.
A big complaint.
This is not a surprise.
Against one of my friends.
Oh.
I'm not going to name the friend.
Okay.
But it's ridiculous.
Okay.
But before I talk about that complaint, I want to just mention what we're going to be talking about throughout the show.
Oh, okay. Sure. Kind of like setting the table.
I'm going to tease the audience.
All right. Ooh, that's a good term. Good
something broadcast that took place recently in the Michigan House of Representatives, Michigan House, not the Senate, in regards to the drunk driving laws.
Oh.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that.
This is this is your point of expertise.
I specialize in anything under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code, drunk driving offenses, driver's license restoration, etc. We're going to talk about the PBT test that is requested at times from individuals who are pulled over and suspected of drinking and driving.
Okay.
Zero tolerance under 21. I get calls all the time. My son is 19 years of age. He blew a .0405. They charged him with zero tolerance. Why? Well, as adults, if you're 18 and over, we'll discuss the .08.
Right.
Cell phones. We have a cell phone issue.
Oh.
And privacy regarding cell phones.
Okay.
There's something called the Texalizer. It's new equipment that's out there.
Really?
Texalizer.
Okay.
Beware of the Texalizer.
All right.
So we have a lot to talk about.
A lot of law.
A lot of law.
On this law show.
You have to make sure, though, that I get to everything I just spoke of.
That's or there's going to be complaints. There'll be people.
Because there's a good chance that I won't get to any of it. So you got to keep us focused. Turn that wheel. Here's my complaint.
Keep you on the straight and narrow.
Here's my complaint.
Your complaint, yes. Okay.
One of my buddies I grew up with comes up often and stays with me.
Okay.
And he came up and he here's what he says to me. And he's one of my dear friends. We grew up together, high school, junior high. We're adult, you know, the whole 10 yards.
Probably one of the few people who can talk to you the way he's talking to
like
you.
Like Piz Dog from the last week's show.
Exactly.
Love Piz Dog. Great show. He's at my house. He says, Todd, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is early. It's early in the day still. He says, right. I forgot my toothbrush. You mind if I borrow yours tonight?
What?
Honest to goodness. What? I'm not making this up. I go, are you kidding me? You got to be, you're kidding me, right? He goes, well, I forgot my toothbrush.
Go buy one.
Okay. Well, first off, if you have a wife, you know, your husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, depending upon the circumstances, okay. Do you agree?
I totally agree.
Not a problem.
110%.
You're exchanging saliva all the time.
Yes.
But a friend?
No.
Not a chance.
Nah.
No.
Well, I'll say this much. You let him use the toothbrush, you throw the toothbrush away when he's done. You never use it again.
Here's what we did.
Or you tell him to keep it.
We went to the store. One of the big stores.
You bought a new toothbrush.
Well, hold on a second. It gets even worse.
Okay.
We go to the store. I drove him to the store. That's all we went to get a toothbrush.
All right.
He could not decide on, you ready for this? The color of his toothbrush.
What?
I go, who cares? Who the frick cares about the color of your toothbrush? Do you want soft, medium, or hard? And I recommend you get a more expensive toothbrush from a well-known company so you get a quality toothbrush with good bristles.
Sure.
So it does a good job. But he got, Todd, I don't know what color I should choose from. I go, it's like, Craig, are you kidding me? When you brush your teeth, do you really care what color your toothbrush is?
I brushed my teeth this morning. I couldn't even tell you what the color of my toothbrush is. I have no idea.
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
I said, and what do you want, a Mickey Mouse toothbrush, a SpongeBob? I go, just pick a freaking toothbrush and let's go.
Aw, now my kids love the SpongeBob toothbrush.
No, they used to I'm not them. Talking about this guy's 50-something years
know.
Old.
Oh, I get it.
It took him, I'm not kidding, 15 minutes to pick a color of a toothbrush.
See,
what color do you think he chose?
Red.
Blue.
See, we could have been one of those. That's where you give him your toothbrush. Tell him, use the toothbrush, and you get your own toothbrush, and you move on.
Look, people are probably eating and don't even want to listen to this. That is so disgusting. I'm still bothered. I'm not kidding. It took him, it's like 15 minutes just to pick out a toothbrush. That was like a waste of time.
Now, you're pretty ADD when it comes to this kind of stuff, are you not?
Well,
about people's food touching your food, the water jug hitting yours. I mean, that's a you thing.
Should we not be?
Oh, I agree. That's a you thing, but... The toothbrush, I mean, that's just kind of clear cut and dry. You don't ask somebody for else. Yes, it's one thing. You're married. You guys are kissing all the time anyway. You could probably share a toothbrush.
If married people still kiss. I'm just saying.
I think they do.
Okay.
I want to believe they do.
I think they do.
I want to believe they do. But if you're talking about friend, I mean, you could be my closest friend in the world. You can have my toothbrush. I'm not using it again.
How about a shower towel? I get out here. I'm over your house, Craig.
Okay.
I take a shower.
All right.
I'm using a towel. You're next. Do you use the same towel?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want your body on mine.
I just got out of the shower.
I know. Trust me. I get that. Because I've had relationships with people of the female sex who can't understand using the same towel more than once. I'm like, you're wiping clean water off. Your body's clean when you're wiping it off. You can reuse a towel.
Okay.
But I don't want to use your
towel. Same friend of mine, okay, because of our history and our friendship, if he used a bath towel, I'd use that towel afterwards. What's the big deal? It's just I'm not talking about a hand towel. I'm talking about a bath towel.
But you would use a toothbrush.
Would not share a toothbrush.
Would you use the same bar of soap?
No.
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 So I wouldn't use the same towel.
When you have guests over your house, you provide them with a new bar of soap.
That's exactly correct.
Nothing more disgusting.
That's correct.
And clean your shower before you take a shower.
But think about that. If you're using that bar soap to clean yourself in places, you're using the towel to dry off those places. I'm sorry. I'll have my own towel.
What if there was no other towel in the house? You haven't ever shared a beach towel with somebody before?
Yeah, but when you're in a, with a beach towel, usually have a bathing suit of some sort on. You're not drying off everything.
You know what? You changed my mind. You convinced me. I agree 100%.
Think about that.
But Craig, it's the Todd L. Levitt Law Show featuring you. Who are you?
I'm Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle.
5 days a week.
BBS, that's right. And sometimes Saturday.
Yeah. And your show is heard when?
6 to 10 on Monday through Friday and then 9 to 2 on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Plus, we're also live on 95.5 and Rock 105 and Sheboygan and Traverse City as well. Hello to everyone in the Grand Traverse County area and in the Sheboygan County area.
Hey, big shout out before we go to break.
Okay.
When we come back from break, we are going to talk law.
Yes, I've got a checklist of things you've got to talk about.
Totally.
But a shout out to?
Steve Mortensen.
Okay, who's that?
A great guy.
All right.
Good friend.
Okay.
I mean, just listens to 98.5 UPS, listens to the show. I've known Steve for a while. Great guy.
Share your toothbrush?
Him and his wife.
Share your toothbrush with him?
No, I wouldn't share. Okay. I mean, I like Steve a lot, okay. I'm not sure my toothbrush with anybody.
Okay.
How about a child? Would you use your child? If a child, if you didn't have a toothbrush?
That's about pushing the edge of it.
If you use a child's toothbrush, you should immediately throw it away and get them a new one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know children are sacred to me. You shouldn't.
Yeah, they're my flesh and blood.
But I'm just saying sacred.
And I would use the same towel as one of my kids used.
Okay.
I would do that, but not a friend.
I love you so much, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. I would use your same towel. There you go.
Freaky.
Sally Waddell.
Okay.
Another great person. Great lady, Sally. Sally Waddell.
Big fan of the show?
Big fan of the show.
Okay.
Shout out to Sally and Steve Mortensen.
All right.
And all the men and women and children and aunts and uncles and everyone listening to the show.
There you go.
And I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and we have to go to break. And when we come back from break, we're going to come back with Greta Van
Fleet
from
Frankenmuth.
Unbelievable. Let's go to break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show in studio with my good friend, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle, 5 days a week, including Saturday.
Which makes it six.
If you're just tuning in,
we're
playing Greta Van Fleet throughout the show. Check out these young guys on YouTube. They're from Frankenmuth. Two of them just graduated from high school.
Now, see, I'm going to tell you something, Todd. I mean, I know you are in your late 30s, but you have a really good taste in music. I like a lot of the rock stuff that you like, and these guys are really good, too. They really are.
They sound, they're themselves.
Right.
They have a unique sound.
Yes.
But the lead singer, I hear Robert Plant.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, this young man can belt. And they're going to be playing when? At the Cheery Festival.
They are. I think they're opening for Shinedown on Monday.
That's crazy.
Don't hold me to that because they might be some other time.
We'll not hold you to it.
Okay. Plus, you know who else likes them? Norm and Sherry. Norm McKee and Sherry, his wife, one of the owners, Black Diamond Broadcasting. Met him last year, thinks they're great. Sherry wanted to know if they were coming back and wanted to see him again. Think she's going to be in Traverse City for that show just to see them.
I'm going to that show.
I know you are.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know, seriously. Hey, we're getting into law, talking law on this law show, which is crazy. So you started off before we went to break. You were talking about how we were going to talk about what the legal limit is for a breathalyzer. And my question to you is, it's 0.8. How long has that been the legal limit? Has it been that way for a long time?
So Michigan's, that's a great question. I get this question all the time.
Okay.
You know, because first off, you should never drink and drive.
No.
The law says if you're 21 and over, you can operate a motor, if you have a beer, you can operate a motor vehicle as long as there's a number of factors involved that your blood, and one of them is your blood alcohol content, as long as it does not exceed 0.08 or higher. And there's other factors that relate to the charge of drinking and driving or operating while intoxicated, I should say.
Now, you're going to have to also explain what the super drunk thing is, but we can get to that in a second because that's something totally different, isn't it? I mean, it's in the same realm, but it's a much lower level on how you get to that point. How does that get to be?
Well, it's a higher level.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yes. Okay.
Michigan's legal limit, though, Craig, for drunk driving has been 0.08 since 2003.
What was it before that?
It was 0.10.
Really?
But here's what happened. So when you and I were growing up, my understanding is, and I could be wrong, it was always 0.10.
Okay.
But in 2003, the legislators approved changing the per, we call it, lawyers called per se blood alcohol content, for concluding, you know, a driver's intoxicated from 0.10 to 0.08. But at that time, they put a 10-year sunset on the law, meaning it was going to expire 10 years after they took this action. So from 2003 till 2013, the level was to be and is 0.08.
Okay.
And then there's a sunset put on the law, meaning when the sun sets, the law expires.
Okay.
But House Bills 4547 and 4548 would take that sunset out and make the 0.08 BAC level a permanent fixture now under Michigan law.
Now, I have a question for you. How did they determine to go from 1.0 to 0.08? What was the – where did they make the determination to do that? Was there money attached to it or something?
Just, you know what? Great question. Keeping our roads safe.
Sure.
Obviously, if you're at 0.08, it's illegal. 0.10 is illegal. And again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a medical expert. You know, everybody is different. Again, do not drink and drive, period. But based on your weight, how much you ate, your metabolism, when was the last time you consumed any alcohol, that all affects your ability to operate a motor vehicle. Is it daylight, sunset? Is the sun setting? What your eyes like? There's so many different factors. The best way to keep everybody safe is do not drink and drive. But they lowered from 0.10 to 0.08, and people are still dying out there.
Oh, yeah.
They're still dying out there. But that is now, it's now going to be eliminated. It's going to be 0.08 in the state of Michigan for eternity.
Now, would anybody really think about that? Would anybody go, well, I know someday that 0.08 is going to go away. I mean, I would think you would think that they're just going to keep it at that or lower it even more.
A good point. According to the Office of Highway Safety and Planning in Michigan, there were 14,547 crashes that involved alcohol back in 2004. And then after the new limit was first introduced in 2016, that number was 9,600. We're not talking about deaths. We're talking about
just
crashes that involved alcohol. And speaking of crashes, we have a lot more to get to. I just want to take a moment to, you know, tell everyone out there and inform everyone, if you're driving or going to be driving today, one, don't text and drive.
For sure.
Don't drink and drive, but don't text and drive. And pay attention to our loved ones on motorcycles.
Agreed. Yep.
There are way too many men and women every day, each year around this country, who are dying on motorcycles because of the negligence of individuals who are driving.
Agreed. And, you know, of course, on 98.5, we do bike nights. And we have a lot of listeners and a lot of friends who ride bikes. So please take it easy, especially with the holiday weekend coming up. It's going to be a long holiday weekend, you know, starting on Friday, going all the way to Tuesday or Wednesday. Just please be careful. Can't stress that enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some friends whose loved ones, unfortunately, were involved in motorcycle accidents in the past few months. Just tragic.
Yeah.
I always slow down. If I'm going down a two-lane highway, you know, there's no divide, there's no island separating the roadway.
Right.
And I see motorcyclists coming towards me. Not only do I slow down, even if I'm going to speed limit, but I make sure I veer off to the right a little bit.
Agreed.
And if I'm going to pass a motorcyclist, I always go slow and make sure I have given them plenty of room. And I never, you know, tailgate.
No.
First, you shouldn't tailgate anybody.
No.
But you should always give space to vehicles and motorcyclists.
And be deliberate about what you do. Put that turn signal on. Don't put it on just as you're starting to turn. Put it on a couple of seconds before you're going to go. Make sure everybody knows your intent, including people and motorcyclists. Trust me, you take a couple of extra steps, you take a couple of extra minutes, saves everybody's life.
Just hesitate.
Yep.
Here's another bit of advice. If you're at a red light and you're the lead car, once the light changes, you move forward, hesitate for a moment. Just take a second and hesitate.
Yep.
Because it'll save your life and those of your passengers. Back in the day when I first started driving, I was at 12 and Telegraph because I'm from Metro Detroit.
Yep.
And I was on 12 Mile at Telegraph, and I was heading to the east through Southfield back to Berkeley, where I was from, Oak Park, Berkeley.
Okay.
And I didn't hesitate. I was a young driver, and a vehicle ran that red light coming going south, almost took me out. And since then, I always hesitate.
I was in.
Do you agree?
Totally. Because even though lights these days in some places are staggered, in other words, the light will turn red on this side and it'll take a couple seconds before it turns green on the next side for that very purpose to hesitate. I was in Gary, Indiana last week and I was on my way to Chicago or on my way to St. Louis. Long story short, Google led me astray. Took me off the highway, took me through Gary, 45-minute trip that should have taken 10 minutes on the highway, but it took me through Gary. I went through a light that was turning yellow, and it probably turned red as I went under it. And I thought, wow, that was probably dumb. I shouldn't have done that. That was close. Three cars behind me went through that light. And it had to have been all red for all of them. If anybody would have started to drive and take off, would have nailed them.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to be careful. We talked about a new device.
Okay.
It's called a textilizer.
Yeah, what is that all about?
So the textilizer is a new device. It's new technology that's being introduced. So here's what it is. An officer pulls you over.
Okay.
And the officer says, or you were in a car accident, God forbid, or you're speeding, or you're swerving. The officer pulls you over, says, can I see your cell phone, Craig Russell? Because I believe, based on your head movement, based on the way, you know, based on their experts as law enforcement officers, that they feel that you were texting or doing something on your phone.
Okay.
This new device, the textilizer, it's like a tablet.
All right.
It's with software. They can plug your phone into the tablet to determine at that exact moment when the officer observed you, if you were on Facebook, if you were texting, if you were whatever you were doing on your phone. Exactly. NBC did a big spot on this last week, so that's what brought it to my attention.
Okay.
So there's big problems with this already. What do you think?
Well, I got to believe, A, it's an invasion of your privacy.
That's it.
I mean, yeah. Would I be in the wrong if an officer said, I would like to see your cell phone, and I say no? What would that, even if I had nothing, but now see, now we've talked about this before, though. If I wasn't on my phone, I wasn't doing any texting or anything, and I had nothing to hide, wouldn't I want to just say, sure, go ahead?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And what would happen to me if I said no?
You're protected by the United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
Actually, there were two cases back in 2014, I believe. One case was named, and I'm not even reading this, one case was Riley, and I can't recall what the other case was, but there was a decision from the highest court of the land that said, no, an officer, upon approaching you, stopping you, investigating you, cannot search that device without a search warrant. I could talk about that later in the show, but let me get back to this. I would not, the textilizer, I mean, you can look it up online, it's your privacy issue here. It's a privacy issue. I mean, if the officer observes you swerving or driving erratic, they can always write you up for careless or reckless.
Okay.
There's no need to invade your privacy to prove you were on your phone texting. But most states now have laws against texting and driving.
Sure.
And New York has been at the forefront of this. If you drive through New York, you can actually pull off into texting rest areas.
Yeah, we've talked about those.
I don't want to rehash that.
No, it's a good idea, though.
But it's a privacy issue. And I say, no, you cannot search my phone.
What happens to you, though? Does the police... I know, but we talked about this before. Does the police then all of a sudden suspect you've got something to hide and there's more trouble? If you don't have anything to hide, aren't you better off just saying, sure, go ahead and look and see? It's like if I don't have any alcohol in my blood and they want to give me a breathalyzer, I would take it in a second because I have nothing, I'm not hiding anything.
So that's a good point, because in the state of Michigan, if an officer believes that he or she has enough evidence to have you submit to a chemical test, breath, urine, or blood, it's called the implied consent law. It's implied that you have to consent. So there's an implied consent law. You cannot refuse to take that test. A refusal results in a one-year suspension of your Michigan driving privileges. It doesn't matter if you're from Michigan or not. If you're driving on a Michigan road and an officer is under the belief that you're intoxicated or operating with the presence of drugs in your system, legal or otherwise, and they ask you to submit to a test, you say no, they're going to get a search warrant from a magistrate. They're taking you to the hospital. Your blood is going to be drawn. And then you're going to face the consequences of any criminal activity. In addition to that, a one-year suspension of your Michigan driving privileges. But a lot of lawyers out there who don't specialize in driver's license restoration cases, as I do, don't understand, a lot of them do and a lot don't, that if you face that one-year suspension, a circuit court judge has the authority under a hardship relief to grant you restricted privileges for that one-year period as a result of the refusal. So now, if you're pulled over and suspected of drinking or drugging and driving, and you refuse to take the chemical test, not the PBT at the scene, that's a whole different issue.
Okay.
But the chemical test, once you're placed under arrest, now you're going to have two cases. You're going to have the driver's license issue on one hand, and you still have to deal with the drunk driving case on the other hand. And even if the drunk driving case, which is operating while intoxicated or other various forms of it in Michigan and other states, even if that gets kicked in court, which is very unlikely to happen, you still have to deal with the driver's license issue. It becomes two issues.
when we come back from break, because we've got to take a break, I've got another question to ask you about. This one's going to be more about the PBT test, because I think that's important to find out about as well. We will go to break right now. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the Black Diamond Group Mothership in a beautiful creek. Look at this green field.
Nutrient-filled. It's pure Michigan.
Pure Michigan, baby, from the Black Diamond Group Mothership here. Thanks to Norm and Mike. We love the mothership, and the mothership actually is looking beautiful today.
Well, with all the rain we've had, and as sunny and warm as it's been, it's going to just sprout up.
It's the field is unbelievable. I love the ferns growing. Yes. I love the plant, the vegetation. It's unbelievable. Greta Van Fleet bringing us back again.
Now, it's possible you've never heard of Greta Van Fleet because they're a newer band. It's young guys out of Frankenmuth. Just got signed to a big label. They're playing concerts all over the place. Now, you know, usually we don't play a lot of them, but you might hear more of them as the days go on because they're a really good group.
You know, I love bands. Yeah. I love groups. I miss, you know, just the small bar scene, love that those bands. But this group right here, this is if you listen to them and follow them, they're going places. Yeah, I'm not just saying, this is, they're blowing up.
Nope, they're going to be huge.
Huge.
They're going to be huge.
Let's get back to something that you brought up, not the toothbrush issue, but let's bring
about the law.
The law. We're actually the law show.
So we're talking about if a policeman pulls you over because he has thinks you maybe are on your phone texting, and pulls you over and says, can I see your phone? You're talking about this textilizer thing, which, by the way, I thought was a breathalyzer that you could plug into your phone and it would give you a result by texting.
Well, that's how it works.
Really?
Well, no, I mean, it's similar. It's no, you plug your phone into the textilizer.
No, I know. But I thought you were saying you could plug your phone into a breathalyzer, blow into your phone, and it would send you a text telling you what your blood alcohol content is.
Okay, there are devices out there.
I know. That sounds cool. But anyway, so my question to you originally was that, let's say, you're pulled over and the officer wants you to submit to some kind of a blood alcohol test, whether it's at the hospital, whether it's a PBT on site, whatever, and you refuse. There's penalties for that, suspension of license, et cetera, et cetera. But if an officer pulls over and says, I want to see your phone because I think you were texting, and you refuse, what are the consequences of that?
Okay. The United States Supreme Court has made it extremely clear. Okay. And this was back in 2014. And this was a sweeping victory, as far as I'm concerned, for privacy rights in this current digital age, Craig.
Okay.
And by majority, the United States Supreme Court ruled that police need warrants to search the cell phones of people they arrest. And this is a victory for privacy rights. So that you're asking me, if you're pulled over in a motor vehicle or an officer approaches you and is doing an investigation, are there any penalties for you to refuse? Absolutely not. There's no state law that would trump the United States Supreme Court, which is a law of the land. Now, here's the reason why. Cell phones. There's a lot of information contained in cell phones.
Sure.
There's so much of it is private. I don't want anybody going through my cell phone. It doesn't matter if I have nothing to hide or whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's your private phone.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have family photos in there. You have information.
Phone numbers.
How about
text.
This? I'm an attorney. You think for a second that I want to disclose to police officers a communication between myself and my office? That's why the United States Supreme Court ruled in favor of our privacy rights. You have a right against self-incrimination, and that's the issue. If an officer is looking through your phone, the odds are, depending on who you are, they could find things that you don't want them to find. Doesn't mean you're breaking the law.
Sure.
But there's privacy issues here.
Right.
So that's why the Supreme Court, and there were two cases, by the way. I want to talk about these two cases that led to the ruling.
All right.
The first case was Riley, okay? And in both cases, by the way, the warrantless cell phone searches gave the police evidence to prosecute these individuals. And one of them was an individual who was pulled over. The officer searched his phone and in doing so discovered evidence of certain criminal activity that led to his incarceration for 14 years.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. And but for the officer looking through that phone, the evidence never would have been discovered.
Sure.
And normally, as a lawyer, you file a motion to suppress that evidence so it's not introduced. So that's a one case there. And the other case came out of Boston and then involved a search, again, of a call log of a flip phone. The individual was arrested and charged with gun and drug crimes. And that was another case where, but for the search of the cell phone, this individual would never have been charged. So the question is, well, wait, they were breaking the law. They're breaking the law. But the Constitution is in place for a reason.
Sure.
And the Fourth Amendment is very important. The Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination is very important. So the Supreme Court of the United States got it right in this case. So the question is, the textilizer, the device that will determine when you're pulled over in a motor vehicle or otherwise, what you were doing at the moment that you caused a crash or some other incident. Now, the question is, what'll happen is there may be a state out there that will pass a law. It will be used against an individual that's pulled over. And then that attorney and other attorneys will then take it through the courts of that state, trial court, court of appeals,
maybe
Supreme Court of that state.
Sure.
And then it will go into the federal courts, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And then, so that's what happens with cases. When there's new laws that come about in these various states, they're challenged by attorneys. I challenged a case a couple years back on illegal transportation of medical marijuana. I was not the lead lawyer in doing this. There were other lawyers who had previously done this, but as an attorney that specializes in drug cases, I filed a motion. And that case went up and down, and finally a ruling came out, and that law does no longer exist.
That's awesome.
So that's how it works.
So let's back up a second. So let's say Joe, police officer, and of course, not trying to make fun of police officers, do important work. We're very big fans of law enforcement here on this show. But let's say Mr. Police Officer maybe doesn't have a couple of Supreme Court cases in front of him to say, go through and figure out that if you go ahead and say, you can't look through my cell phone, that they'll just let you go. Let's talk about the front lines. You're talking to a police officer. You say, you can't look through my phone. What does that police officer do? Hand you back your phone and say, well, I'm sorry, go on your way? No. I have a feeling that they then will think, I can't see your cell phone. Something's up. What do they do then?
But here's the case. Here's the deal. In order to obtain it, if they have enough probable cause, they can detain you and then wake up a magistrate, depending on what time the date is. But here's the issue. Should precisely authorize what an officer can and cannot search or to be searched. The issue with the cell phone is they can't, if they're asking for a warrant to search a cell phone, they have to be precise in what they're asking for. That's what the law requires.
Right.
So that's the issue. If they're looking through your cell phone, then they're looking through data that wasn't part of the search warrant to begin with. And that, to me, as a defense attorney, that's the issue. A search warrant for a cell phone is not precise.
That search warrant.
It will not be precise.
That should only probably be, I want a search warrant to find out when they sent a text at a certain time because I caught them at 3:31. And I want to see if they were sending a text or receiving a text at 3:31.
Okay, valid point. Now you have the person's phone. There's a code that has to be entered to get into the phone to begin with. Did the search warrant say, you have a right to ask that individual for their code? Now, a couple weeks back, a month ago, we were talking about these social media stars.
Right.
Where a judge in Florida ruled in favor of the prosecutor that they had a right to the information on that phone.
Yeah.
Okay, this is different than a stop. The prosecutor was seeking to get into that phone as evidence.
Exactly.
I still disagree with that ruling. It's going to go up to the United States Supreme Court, and hopefully the cases we're talking about and protections of privacy are still there. But there's something called, we talked about this again weeks ago. We're sort of coming full circle.
Sure.
There's exceptions to a search warrant. Plain view doctrine. How's an officer going to argue plain view doctrine if they didn't see, on the face of your phone that you just text?
And that's the thing that I'm concerned about is most of the people probably listening to the show right now are probably not necessarily concerned about, weeks down the road when a lawyer is involved and stuff. They want to know what's going to happen to them right there. And then you get pulled over and policeman thinks you're texting and you say no. Do you get hauled off to jail? Do you get arrested? Is there some other thing that can happen bad to you?
Well, there's already a law in the books in Michigan that you cannot text and drive. So if an officer feels that you were texting, he or she can still cite you for violating the laws of the state of Michigan under the Motor Vehicle Code.
Well,
so they don't need to get in your phone to begin with.
I'd rather do that than,
but here's
over,
a question.
Than rather give over my phone and have them find something other incriminating.
Here's a question for you. Okay?
Okay.
What's the difference if you're driving down the road and you need to make a phone call? Is that texting? Is it making a phone call? Because you have to look at, how many people when you're driving have to look at your phone to contacts and make a phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Question is it texting? If you're looking for a phone number, how do you define texting? How do you like that? It goes back to the old seatbelt law. Before there were strap belts, okay? Yep. When strap belts came out, the law said in Michigan that you had to have a seatbelt just around your waist.
Right.
And when a new law came out, if you got pulled over right away, they never changed the language of the statute didn't include the shoulder belt.
Yep.
They had to include that later on. So if you didn't have a shoulder belt on, and an officer pulled you over and said, you weren't wearing your seatbelt, but officer, I had my waist belt on. The statute wasn't updated.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense.
Are you sure?
I think
because I just confused myself. I was thinking about that toothbrush story in the first segment where my buddy took 15 minutes to pick out a toothbrush because of the color. I know you want to go. We're going to continue with law. Still upset about my good friend.
I know.
Who forgot his toothbrush. And it took, there's a lot of people who just tuned in. He came out to my house from Metro Detroit. No. And we went to the store to buy a new toothbrush. It took him 15 minutes because he couldn't choose a color.
Would you kiss him?
No.
Then you're not using his toothbrush. He's not using your toothbrush.
But we have to go to break.
Yes.
And
thank God.
We have more. Wait a minute. We were going to talk about the PBTs.
We've got one more segment to go.
And then we were going to talk about zero tolerance. But let's come back from break and talk about the PBTs. We'll come back strong after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, protecting the privacy of the listeners from sea to shining sea, from continent to continent. Just tune into the show. We're broadcasting, by the way, on Podbean, iTunes, and SoundCloud. So if you missed any part of this show, where we're currently in a mothership, and you can listen to us on 98.5 UPS.
And also 95.5 and Rock 105. I've been Traverse City, Sheboygan.
But you can catch us for free on iTunes,
yep.
SoundCloud, or Podbean app, and it's free. And a lot of listeners are catching some of our previous shows.
Exactly. Talking about medical marijuana, talking about other law stuff. Lil John. I'm trying to think of everybody else who's been on the show recently.
His dog.
You know it. Oh,
I like you got it. My sister.
Yeah, that's right.
Big shout out to my sister. Big shout out, by the way, to Leary. I want to say hi to Leary out there. Leary Hardy. Great guy, loves to fish.
All right.
Nice guy.
Should I know Larry?
Great guy. He'll come down sometime. Great guy.
Okay.
All right. Let's continue.
Yes. Talking about PBTs.
Okay. So there's a difference between a PBT and a penalties for refusing the chemical test.
Right.
If you are stopped by a law enforcement officer who believes you may be driving while intoxicated or impaired, that officer may ask you to take a preliminary breath test, a PBT, to determine whether alcohol was involved.
Right.
The question is, if you refuse to take the PBT, you do not lose your license for a year. But you may be charged, folks, with a civil infraction, which does carry a fine of up to $150 plus court cost. Now, a person, whether this is fair or not, under the age of 21 who refuses to take the PBT will have 2 points added to his or her driving record.
And you know why? Because a person under 21 shouldn't be drinking in general. Not only just drinking and driving, but shouldn't be drinking.
Yeah, if you're
zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance. So exactly. If you're under 21 years of age and you get pulled over and you blow a .04, you're going to be arrested potentially with a drinking and driving offense called zero tolerance under the age of 21. Now, there's a difference between operating while visibly impaired, or DUI, as people refer to the lay term, and zero tolerance. Zero tolerance carries 4 points on your driving record. Driver's license is restricted for 30 days. So on an impaired driving, you're getting a 90-day restricted. No hard suspension.
Okay.
If you're under 21, it's a 30-day restricted. Now, operating while intoxicated, the third offense as you're climbing the ladder of drinking and driving charges, if you're convicted straight up of operating while intoxicated, first offense, 6 months suspension of your Michigan driving privileges with a hard 30-day suspension.
Now, what does that exactly mean?
That means, so if you were in court today,
okay,
you entered a plea of guilty to operating while intoxicated, 6.93-day misdemeanor. The court will notify the Secretary of State. Within a week, 2, 3, 4 weeks, the Secretary of State is going to take action against your driving privileges.
Okay.
And if you're from out of state, then the action is taken against your ability to operate a motor vehicle in the state of Michigan. You still have to follow the laws of the state that you're driving in. It doesn't matter where you're from.
Right.
But if an OWI, the 6-point misdemeanor, the hard 30 days, so when you get notice from the Secretary of State, the first 30 days you cannot drive.
Okay.
And on that restricted license that is sent in the mail, it will indicate, Mr. Russell, your privileges are suspended from point A to point B, but the first 30 days is a hard suspension. On the 31st day, you can then drive to and from and during the course of employment, educational, medical emergencies, and a few other standard terms that you have to follow.
Right.
But you're required to carry, and this is where people get themselves in trouble, proof of destination, proof of employment,
okay,
working hours. The question arises, you're in Mount Pleasant, you're in Traverse City, you're in the UP, and that's where you work.
Okay.
But you want to go down to Metro Detroit, Royal Oak, for work purposes, but it's not your normal job. Can you do so?
If you have proof of it, you can, I would imagine.
So how do you get proof of it?
You have to get something signed by your employer.
No, so let's say somebody wants you to do a side job in Royal Oak.
Okay.
How do you get proof of that? The easiest thing to do.
I have no idea.
Well, I'm a lawyer. That's right. It's Attorney Todd. I love it. He's going to tell you.
That's right.
Have that individual send you an email. So now you got proof of destination on your phone.
Oh, there you go.
Simply put.
Just don't be reading it while you're driving.
Don't be reading it while you're driving.
Or texting that guy back wanting to know how do you get to Royal
Oak. Now, super drunk, high BAC came about 3-4 years ago. That is if your blood alcohol content is 0.17 or higher. Mandatory 1 year of probation. Mandatory 1 year of counseling at the discretion in regards to weekly, monthly, biweekly probation department. Mandatory 1 year suspension of your driving privileges with a hard 45-day suspension. After the 45th day, if you choose to drive for the rest of the year, you have to do so with an ignition interlock device installed in the vehicle. Yeah. Now, the question is, well, I don't want to spend the money, Todd, on that device. I'd rather just be suspended for the whole year. What happens at the end of that 1 year period? Do I have to go to court? Do I have to go before a hearing officer with the Secretary of State? What do I do? Here's the answer, Craig Russell.
Okay.
You pay $125 reinstatement fee at the end of the 1 year period, get your picture taken, and now you're driving again.
Okay.
It's all about money.
Yo, sure.
I don't want people drinking and driving, but this law is not necessary. This law came about because the ignition interlock companies, and I saw it happen because a good buddy of mine at the time owned one of them. Not currently, but he was one of the first ones to start this company through the state. They got together and hired a lobbyist. You always hear about these things.
Mm-hmm.
It took them about 8 to 10 years, and they finally got the legislation through. Because if you think about it, you got to have an ignition interlock device installed in your motor vehicle.
And you got to buy it.
You have to lease it.
Right.
But then you got to pay an installation fee, a de-installation fees. There's so many problems with these devices because they're devices. People are getting their license yanked. They got to go back for more hearings. Then they lose the time, consistent time, concurrent time. It's just a nightmare. The drunk driving laws with the zero tolerance, the impaired and operating while intoxicated are strict enough. We did not need the super drunk. In fact, I think somebody should run for office and repeal the thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much. I had a buddy, a guy who I was roommates with, who had that same thing. He got 2 DUIs in 6 months, and it was not a good sign, not a good scene.
Denied and revoked.
And then he had one of those, the breathalyzer ignition things. He had so many troubles with it because I made sure for a good chunk of time he didn't drink at all. Good friend of mine, and I'm like, look, man, I am not letting you get screwed up. I will either take you places, I will give you money for the bus, or I will sit there and I will watch you get in. He would blow in that thing, and it wouldn't start. He would blow in that thing, and it wouldn't start. One time, he almost got fired from his job because he couldn't make it to it. It was a big mess. He learned his lesson, though. He did learn his lesson. He found a nice girl. He got married, and she drives him everywhere now.
And now she's the boss.
That's right.
But here's the thing about individuals with these devices. It blows my mind. And look, I don't judge. We don't judge. But as an attorney that specializes in misdemeanors, drunk driving cases all over the state, and reinstatement of your privileges with these devices, people do violate. People continue to drink and think they can blow into these devices. And once you get it back, it's and you lose it, it's gone.
Yep.
So it's sad because these people just need to stop.
I think I will say this much, though, and it's definitely in popular culture, and I think social media has had a big chunk to do with this. A lot more people get Ubers. A lot more people take taxis. A lot more people plan for this stuff better than they ever used to. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think it's become more socially acceptable to say, hey, I'm going to go get really, really drunk. And there's no way in the world I'm getting into a car. Somebody help me, take me home, push me into a cab, do something so I don't go kill somebody. I think it's become more, much the same way recycling became, a bunch of other things became more socially acceptable to do that than it ever used to be.
All right, you ready for the issue?
Sure.
We're in the Mitten State. Beautiful, pure Michigan.
Love it.
The great state of Superior above the bridge and us trolls below the bridge.
You know it.
In these rural communities, there are no taxi services. There are no Uber. There's no public transportation. If you're in a small town, do you think there's an Uber or taxi or a bus running? Absolutely not. That's not to say you should drink and drive. What should happen is if you're out drinking with your friends, one, take someone with you who's going to be the designated driver.
Yep.
But I've seen all too often how the designated driver ends up becoming
just has a couple.
Yeah, just has a couple.
Just has a couple. I'm still the designated driver. Come on.
A lot of individuals I represent get stopped after, and we've talked about this, after they go home and then they leave to go get food, cigarettes, or something more to drink. Very dangerous. That's when they get pulled over. Or, you know, they want to go to someone's house. Don't do it. Or they stop drinking and they're going to crash on someone's couch and decide to leave. Now, here's an issue I have. There's a lot of, I'm not going to name any casinos.
Sure.
But there are individuals who get drunk at casinos and are thrown out of casinos. And while they're being thrown out, the cameras and the security are watching them leave these casinos. And then when they get behind the wheel, 2 minutes later, they're getting pulled over. And people always ask me, is that not entrapment?
Well, I don't know.
Listen to what I just said, though.
Yeah,
if
they know.
If Craig, let me ask you this. You have a friend over who's drinking at your house.
Okay.
Okay? Drinking at your house.
Okay.
You tell that person to leave because they're getting belligerent. But they were drinking and everybody saw you serve them liquor. Now they leave because you told them to leave and there's witnesses. That person goes out, gets in a car accident, severely injures somebody else, or kills someone, God forbid. You don't think you're going to be liable for that? So if somebody gets kicked out of a casino or a hotel or a venue by the employees of that venue and they're watching them and then they call law enforcement, I have an issue with that. If they're that drunk, why, and you're going to arrest them, why'd you kick them out in the first place? Could you not call a cab? Could you not call a bus? How about let them stay in your facility instead of allowing them to get behind the wheel? Because a lot of these people, I'm telling you right now, because I represent them, as soon as they put the key in the ignition, They're pulled over.
It's a ticking time bomb. No, they're waiting to go.
That's the statute in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
You don't need to move that vehicle in Michigan to be charged with operating while intoxicated. The engine has to be running. I have a lot of friends that work and run casinos. They're my good friends, but I'm a defense attorney, and I see this time and time again, and it's wrong.
I'll say this much, Todd. Your hair looks fantastic today.
I do have good hair.
You know, we didn't even get a chance to talk about this. The show's almost over. You were on TV last week.
That's right.
I know. We have to talk about this just for a half a second.
Big shout out to News 9 and 10.
Yeah, you were on big TV star with your hair all slicked
back. No, they came to my office to interview me about a meeting that the city of Mount Pleasant was having in regards to cannabis.
Yep.
And I said, look, I'm happy to do the interview. I've done it before. No big deal. But I want to do it outside with my sunglasses on.
So you looked all cool and everything.
I just wanted to have fun. If you're going to do something, have fun.
And your hair looked awesome.
Then I ended up, I guess, on NBC 25.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right.
I was only, they interviewed me for 10 minutes because, you know me, I said a lot.
Uh-huh.
Look, I appreciate being interviewed.
You used 30 seconds of it.
No, less than that. 2 seconds. One of the other channels, they heard my voice.
You're a rock star.
I'm not.
And your hair looked great. Your hair looked great.
Don't start get me started on wanting to have my old rock show. Todd's Rock Block.
I know.
I'm just saying. But we've been blaring and blasting and turning and churning and burning Greta Van Fleet.
Uh-huh. And we got to all the law you wanted to get to.
We got to a lot of law.
Everything.
No, a lot of law.
Funny for a law show.
Yeah. What are you going to do all day?
I don't know. The kids and I are going to go get some ice cream, I think.
I'm going to go buy a couple toothbrushes for any future guest I have in my house.
And some towels.
I'm just saying.
Towels.
No, we can share towels. I love you, bro. You're in my house. You need a shower. You're going to have a new bar of soap. I'll share the towel. Not in the shower.
Thank God.
And you stay in my house, you're going to get a new toothbrush. And again, who cares what the color of the toothbrush
is? Hotel Todd.
Hey.
We'll be all ready to go.
Absolutely. All right. By the way, people have asked me to give out This is not a solicitation. I do run commercials. 989-772-6000.
That's right.
Talk to Jackie Starr or Jen Woodruff in my office. Jackie runs the show here. If you have any issues, any legal help.
Talk to Todd. And talk to Jackie.
Yeah.
Talk to Jen.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go.
Show's done.
Show's done. Have a healthy, happy afternoon, Craig.
Yep. You do the same, Todd.
Hug someone with consent.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go shred the gnar.
All right.
So, Craig, I'm not just a litigator. Take us out with some Greta Van Fleet. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, the Grand Rapids Cannabis Attorneys. For more information on how to start your own legal medical marijuana business or attend a cannabis seminar, visit grca420.com. Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant. Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest-growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer. Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs. Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow. And Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.